Florida State has a legitimate quarterback battle on its hands. We're going to talk about that today. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, and what it means for FSU this upcoming season, as well as some baseball news at the end of this show. So what's up, Noh Nation? I'm Jesse. That's Michael. We're the guys from Plant the Spear. Good to be with you guys talking Florida State athletics today. So, man, Michael, we took last week off, so I can't actually say it this time. It's good to be back. It's spring camp is almost a wrap. We got one scrimmage and a couple more practices to go. Baseball is in full swing, so we actually have a good, fun show to talk about today. But before we get into that, my friend, how are you? How have you been?
Oh, man, I'm good. Yeah, we did take a little bit of breather away. Hasn't been a lot of, like, just content and news coming out of Florida State.
Yeah.
So it was good just to get away, kind of get our juices recharged. But it's good to be back talking about the game and the team we love. Still, there's still not a lot coming out. So
yeah. We're
kind of scraping at the bottom of the barrel just to trying to make sure we get stuff out to you guys.
Yeah, man, excited to get back into all this. I've been staying busy. You know, the weather's nice, so it's time to get back outside again. But I've been really working on building some things that I've been hinting to you guys that we're building some really, really exciting things here at Plant the Spear. We're on track. It's going to take a little bit to get everything done, but we're looking for like an early summer rollout. So again, lock in with us because you're not going to want to miss that. It's going to really change the game for us. So I'm really excited about that. But Michael, let's jump in. Let's start with these spring updates, right? Now, as you said, there's not been a lot coming out. Like this camp, when they shut it down, they actually shut it down. There has really not been much coming out other than, you know, the credentialed outlets, their sources that they have, and a couple of limited media viewing procedures. What am I looking for?
Windows.
Periods. Mm-hmm. Yeah, windows that they had there. Not a whole lot there. It's mostly just kind of gauging the physical stature of right. How players look and things like that. But there have been enough things, I feel like, that have come out that we have a little bit better understanding of where this team is at right now. Now, we don't know all the intricate details because we haven't got to watch them compete against each other. But just from what the tea leaves that we have read, there's a few pretty common themes and narratives that we're going to talk about today as we do our spring update session. So let's jump in with the number one thing that has been the news headlines for Florida State in spring camp so far, and that is the quarterback battle. Because, you know, last time we left off on the quarterback battle was a conversation that was a totally different tone, right? We had talked about how, you know, we were led to believe that it was going to be a quarterback competition, a true quarterback competition coming into spring camp. Then we heard some comments from Mike Norvell through some press conference, some TV appearances and things where it kind of actually sounded more like it was Ashton Daniels' job to lose. And maybe they were just trying to keep Kevin Sperry really engaged because it's hard to hold on to guys nowadays, right? But as spring has progressed, it actually sounds like we're in the midst of a true quarterback competition. It sounds like Kevin Sperry is pushing Ashton Daniels for that starting spot, and maybe he's not a penciled-in starter. Now, I still think it's his job to lose. The thing is that we talked about before was we said, okay, well, it's his job to lose, but with, say, a Brock Glenn DJU situation or Brock Glenn Tommy Castellanos, like, you felt like those guys, DJU and Tommy, were pretty much a bona fide starters because no one behind them was good enough to come up and take that job.
Right.
So now I think the question is for us, when you look at this competition, okay, well, if it was Ashton Daniels' job to lose, it sounds like Kevin Sperry might actually be good enough to rise up and take it. And so it sounds to me, from what I've heard, and I'm sure you probably heard the saying, that there is no leader right now. It's pretty much neck and neck, and this is probably going to draw into the summer and then into the fall camp, which is going to be – it's going to really put an emphasis on summer because that's right. Where you could see someone start to separate themselves. You know,
yep. Who's
going to be the leader that organizes the player-run practices? Who's going to be the guys getting the extra work with the receivers when they don't have to or things like that? That could be when they separate themselves. Oh, by the way, while we're talking about the quarterback battle going into summer and fall, well, there's an X factor that a lot of people are forgetting about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come out of spring, the one thing we had said was that these two guys are going to be so much farther ahead than Malachi Marshall because they got spring. But you're having right now where neither guy's able to separate themselves. And now he's going to come in the summer with almost a dead even race. So I do think this could be a three-man quarterback battle going into the fall. So we'll see, because if no one separated themselves and really grasps hold of that starting job, it sounds like it's up for anybody.
Yeah.
And so he'll be able to go through the summer. He'll be able to go through fall camp. And that's just another factor that we have to add into this. Now, I'll throw it back to you on this. I think the biggest question on a lot of Florida State fans' minds, my mind in particular, when I hear about this, you know, when I look at Ashton Daniels, I kind of look at him in two different views, right? One, you have the Stanford era, which was really bad. You have the Kentucky game at Auburn, which was really bad. His history that precedes him is not all good, right? We're basically running our hopes and dreams off of the Vanderbilt game and the Alabama game at Auburn in an offense that's a little bit more tailored for him and things like that. At the end of the day, you know, when certain things happen, like what's the number one knock we've heard out of camp so far? Turnover issues.
Right.
Well, when you have a guy who has 24 career touchdowns and 22 career interceptions, you know what they say, Michael? At some point, it's just who you are, right? Right. It's not, well, this is the – it wasn't this offense. It wasn't this. It wasn't maybe the coaching. Stanford doesn't have any good players. At some point, it's just you.
Right.
And so it's not surprising to me to hear a quarterback come in that has a career history of turnover problems have turnover problems. So I think the question on my mind, a lot of Florida State fans' minds right now is, I think Ashton Daniels has the potential to be good based on the limited sample set that we saw. I think Kevin Sperry has the ability to be good. But the question right now is it because Kevin Sperry is just that good? Or is it because Ashton Daniels is not that good? Because they're both learning a new offense, right? Yes, Kevin Sperry has a little bit of a leg up from knowing some of the common terminology and things like that between Mike Norvell and Gus Malzahn's offense, but he's a redshirt freshman versus right. a fifth-year senior. There should be a definite defining line between these two. And if right now a redshirt senior cannot separate himself from a redshirt freshman, it raises concerns from Ashton Daniels' side, and I think it also raises a little bit of confidence on Kevin Sperry's side, because there's a lot of people that like Kevin Sperry, myself included. I think he's like a baby Baker Mayfield, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see how that translates. But man, that's the question burning on my mind right now.
Yeah, yeah. I think you have to go back and understand that when they brought in Ashton Daniels, you know, obviously he's not getting paid what, you know, say DJU and Tommy was making. They yeah. got him on a bargain. He's a bargain bin quarterback. Let's just be real. I don't mean that offensively. I just mean right. that's what they got him at. They got him for a bargain. They brought him in believing he's going to be the number one guy. And I think that first week of spring, from what we've read and heard, is that he really did separate himself mm-hmm. that first week. He really stepped out leadership wise, you know, the mechanic stuff, all of that really began to separate him. But what it had seems like is that in the last several weeks of spring, that separation has gotten smaller.
Yeah.
And so the question you have to ask, like you said, is Kevin Sperry that much better, or is Ashton Daniels that much worse? Is it the case that Kevin Sperry has stayed right here this whole time, but Ashton Daniels, who after that first week was up here, has started to come here, right? That's that would be a massive concern.
Right.
Kevin Sperry is not getting better, but Daniels is getting worse. Well, then you have Malachi Marshall coming in, and what does he do? Right. Now, does he have even footing? We've all assumed that he's going to come in and he's going to be the clear number three behind Kevin Sperry and Ashton Daniels. So I think that's part of it as well. I got a chance to look at some of the film that was coming out from some of the credential media that they in their open window practice from the other day. And, you know, I like some of the things I saw with Ashton Daniels. I thought he had a really great zip on his ball. I thought he, you know, had good footwork, good technique in that sense. I will say that his throwing angle is lower than you would suspect for a quarterback his height and size, which probably maybe have led into some of the turnover issues that he's mm-hmm. had as well. But when he does make a on-time, accurate throw, it's on him. I mean, he has a great zip. And so, yeah, and with Kevin Sperry, I think what I saw, he has really good touches on his pass. Like he gets it there at the right time in the right space, but he gives the receivers and the running backs a way to be able to catch it and then not feel like it's just on him. So, like, but again, that's a limited window that you're looking into of that. I saw some of the throws he was making to the running backs and stuff. They were on time. So you just wonder. like you said, is this becoming a real quarterback competition? I think if you were to pin Mike Norvell down, he would tell you he wants Daniels to be the surefire winner of the starter, because obviously they're paying him more than they're paying Sperry. So he'd want that. But also, the dude is on the most hottest seat in the country. Mm-hmm. He's got to win this year. So if Daniels or Malachi Marshall is better, or Sperry is better, then you're going to have to play the better quarterback. It'll be interesting to see, like you said, how they continue to develop in the summer.
Yeah, and you bring up some good points that I want to reply to here. And I think so there's some good and some bad to this, right? This is what we're talking about. And really, in the spring with a closed camp and all that stuff, I don't think we as fans are going to be able to really tell, who is what, because we just haven't seen enough sample set. That's only something that the people inside the program are going to know. But if you want to look at it from maybe a positive perspective, right? If maybe it's Kevin Sperry is turning out to be better than we thought, and he's just, nipping at Ashton Daniels' ankles, but he's still doing well. He's just learning the offense and, it's a little clunky and they've said Deuce has been out and Danzy's doing track. And so, it's just getting all that stuff together, new systems and everything that they're learning. Then at least I would say your depth drop off isn't as far, right? Because in the last couple of years, we didn't really have a great starter, but if you didn't have a great starter and the backup was considerably worse, that was a bad situation. So at least maybe you feel like now, whether he gets dinged up running the ball, if it is Daniels or something like that, then I think you don't have you don't have as much of a drop-off from 1 to 2. So I do like that. Maybe if things don't go well with Daniels, you switch to Sperry and you don't feel like it's a desperation move because he's actually performed well for you. I also think one of the other things that probably has to be factored into this is, like you said, the money. Now, I think the good part of the money aspect is, you didn't give him the $2.5 or $3 million we had heard Anthony Calandria wanted, right?
Right.
You'd be really hard-pressed to justify putting that on the bench. You didn't pay that much. So to me, the money factor shouldn't really be as heavily weighted when you're not even paying him over $1 million. We pretty much know that. And so I think that at least maybe handles itself a little bit because of the other point that you brought up. Mike Norvell has to win right now. It doesn't matter if it's Malachi Marshall throwing the ball, who I think probably has the best arm talent of the entire room, which I'm going to bring that up to another point in just a second. But I think one of the other things that you're going to have to look at here for me, when I'm arguing for Kevin Sperry, is the future factor, right? Look, don't get me wrong. If Ashton Daniels is the best guy for the job, play him by all means. Right. But to me, if it's neck and neck or if it's even remotely close, I'm probably going to lean Kevin Sperry because Lord knows it would be great to have a proof of concept that you can recruit a high school quarterback, develop him into a starting quarterback, and win with him. Because right now, you have zero proof of concept at Florida State University. Everything you can hang your hat on quarterback-wise from the high school market is Memphis. Nothing here. And so I think that would be big. You could also have Kevin Sperry potentially, obviously anybody can leave, return as the returning starter next year. Ashton Daniels cannot. So to me, if it's close, I'm going to give the edge to Sperry just for the homegrown side, the future potential upside there. But I will say that I think there is also one other thing that we need to consider as we're going to move into another topic here about concerned among position groups throughout spring is, depending on how the O-line turns out, you may also have to factor in that running ability at the quarterback position. Now, Sperry's got wheels, right? He can move. But Ashton Daniels is a proven runner, and Malachi Marshall is not so much. Not saying he's not mobile, he just doesn't run the ball a lot, and he's a very small guy, so you really don't want him running the ball anyway, whereas Ashton Daniels has the body size to the frame to be durable. So that may be a big factor too. So you may have to factor in the legs and the running ability to help out the offensive line. But the other point that I was talking about earlier with the arm talent that I wanted to bring up is, I'll tell you one thing right now, man. So far through spring, Florida State, in my opinion, is loaded at the skill positions. Between the receivers that you have, hearing about Devin Carter and some of these young guys that are coming up, obviously we know Deuce is a proven guy. Danzy's got another year in the system. I love the running back position with Chroma and Trey Wisner. I think you have great skill positions. But the thing is, let's just say the offensive line is good enough. You don't want the quarterback with the least amount of arm talent that can't take advantage of the resources that he has in front of him, right? Like, Deuce is a great receiver, but if you can't get him the ball accurately, it doesn't do you any good.
Yep.
And we know Mike Norvell is going to run a more pass-heavy offense. So I think those are the things over the course of fall camp and summer that you have to figure out, right? I think whoever wins this quarterback battle is going to probably be based not only on what they do, but the composition of the team, right? How good is this offensive line? You know, who's stepping up to be the leader? How's this run game look? Because if you got no run game and you have a quarterback that's not a great thrower, your offense is going to be dead in the water, point blank period. We saw that in 2024.
Right.
So you need to be able to run the ball, which is why you need the offensive line to be good. You may have to give the quarterback legs to help that out, but you also need to be able to take advantage of these stacked skill positions that you have. Because, I feel really good about where they're at there. So, you know, again, man, the tough part about this is we, from not being able to watch, we don't particularly know if it's a case of Kevin Sperry's just that good,
right,
or if Ashton Daniels is just kind of that bad, or if it's too early to tell and it's just spring with a lot of new install. And we just don't know yet. But I do think this is going to be something that's going to carry on into summer. This is going to be something that's going to carry on into the fall. And, you know, competition's never a bad thing. So at least I like the fact that we do have a true competition and we do have two guys that you could feel good about. Now, as they say in football, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. So to me, I think you're going to want to get this sorted out, because I'll throw it back to you for some final thoughts on the quarterback on this. You know, for me, Michael, coming into, obviously you give Ashton Daniels, like if I had to put my bottom dollar on it right now, I think Ashton Daniels is probably going to be your starter for New Mexico State no matter what, because that big SMU game is going to be right on the backside of that. And this is a guy that's got 37 Power 5 starts versus none for Kevin Sperry. But the difference for me, what I'm looking at here, is you have that New Mexico State game in front of that SMU game. So if it is Kevin Sperry, a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience, man, I love the fact that he could go into New Mexico State and get an entire game of experience before shouldering the weight of that SMU game, before getting a long break going into Alabama. So you feel like you could probably have him a little bit more along, but you need to be decided on that.
Yeah.
You could look at it where you go first half Daniels, second half Sperry. But to me, that's probably maybe how it will go. But, man, and Daniels probably needs the reps too, game reps. But, yeah, if it's going to be Sperry and you think it's going to be Sperry, I think he needs to get 90% of the reps in that New Mexico State game.
Yeah, like setting Malachi Marshall aside, you know, I'm a little conflicted and torn about this, because part of me is like, I would love it for it to be Sperry, because I'd love for us to be able to see whether or not Mike Norvell can actually develop a quarterback from the high school ranks.
Yeah.
This is a do or die season, and that's either going to be a stamp of approval or a damning stamp of termination, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of me. But I also, on the other side, I just want to win. I just want to win.
Yeah.
And if Daniels gives us the best chance to win, then it has to be Daniels. I'm with you in the same sense of, like, I think they're going to be neck and neck, whatever that is, throughout the fall camp. And then Mike will use that first game against New Mexico State to kind of separate the goat from the sheep, basically.
Yeah.
You know, who is first, who's second. And you should dominate that game. You should put up 50 points in that game. But, like, how they command the offense, how they run it, how they get in and out of plays, how they make checks, all those different things, I think will help determine who's going to start SMU. But I agree with you. If it is Sperry, if he has even a slight of an edge, you should start him in that New Mexico State game. Give him at least 75% of the snaps in that game. See how he does. You already know what you're getting with Daniels, right? Give him a chance to actually to show you that he could actually be a starter, and then go from there with SMU.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree. Now, let me throw one X factor at you before we move on. Now, I recorded something yesterday with my friend Brian from Locked On Seminoles, and we were talking about this same subject. We were talking about this, and one of the things that we brought up that I thought was kind of interesting, right? Let's just say the bad situation happens, right? You start out 1-2, you lose to SMU and Alabama. Neither game is pretty competitive, right? The offense just looks dead in the water because the quarterback play is not hitting. Now you got Central Arkansas coming to town. Do you throw Malachi Marshall in the mix if he hasn't played yet?
Yes.
I think so. I think at that point, if you're not seeing what you need to see that early in the season, you need to experiment. You need to get him in there and see what he can be, because he can provide you a spark, right? He could be – I said this on the Locked On show because it's kind of a terrible example, but it could be your Billy Napier-Lagway situation where you're like, look what I have coming, right? Yep. And then you just hope that if he's hot – and I know it's Central Arkansas – but you would hope if he's hot, they at least give him a look in the Virginia game, right? Because I remember back when Clemson and Georgia played a long time ago, and this guy, Cole Stout, was Clemson's quarterback. And this young freshman came off the bench and led a touchdown drive and never came back in the game after that. Well, that young freshman's name was Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
I'm not saying Malachi Marshall's Deshaun Watson, but I'm saying you knew immediately who should have been starting. And Dabo took a little bit of heat for that, not rolling with him. So that's the X factor that I think will be interesting, is if things start to go sideways and quarterbacks is obviously a problem, do you give Malachi Marshall the chance just to be like, man, we got to try something because we got to start salvaging some wins here.
Right. Well, absolutely. I mean, if you start 1-2, 1-3, whatever it is, if you're on fire by then, what is there to lose then? You might as well just go ahead and see what we got in this kid, because the next coach is going to have to figure out what he's doing. Or you might get fired and get a head coaching job somewhere else, and you might want to try to recruit that kid. So I would say, man, if you start that poorly, all gloves are off at that point. You got to try anything and everything to try to get the season rolling in the good, better direction.
Yeah, I think so too. And so let's move on to the next portion of spring that we want to talk about. And again, because it's mostly nuanced, there hasn't been a whole lot of stuff to come out. What we're going to do now is we're just going to kind of talk broad spectrum a little bit, right? We're going to talk about the position groups from what we've heard so far that you are more concerned about than you were after this couple of weeks that we've had. So maybe you felt good coming into spring, but now I'm a little bit worried. Mm-hmm. And then maybe what position group you're most concerned about right now. And then we're going to do the opposite of that. Which position group do you feel more confident in now? And which one are you maybe the most confident in? And so I'll kick us off here. Let's start with the concern. So which position group am I more concerned about now than I was at the beginning of spring? For me, it's offensive line. Mm. I understand anytime you bring in five new starters, it's not going to look good right out of the gate because they have to build continuity. It's the one position in college football where continuity matters more than anything else. And so you're bringing in five new starters. You have a couple of guys who are returning guys like Andre Otto and all them, but they didn't play with these guys last year. The good news is it sounds like you've been a lot more healthy this year than you were last year because a lot of those guys weren't able to participate in spring. So at least you've been able to work with your projected starting unit. But we've also heard a few concerning things. Now, we've heard about the run game breaking off some chunk plays and stuff like that, but I've also heard a lot about running backs kind of working to avoid blown up plays in the backfield. And, you know, my thing right now is I came into this, into spring camp, most concerned about the defensive line. Right. And I'm still concerned about the defensive line.
Yep.
Just putting that out there. But I'm most concerned about the offensive line because, as you know, we talk about on the show all the time, if the offensive line don't work, nothing else is going to work.
That's right.
And when you don't have a strong quarterback position from a pass game standpoint, we are going to be relying heavily on the run. And I think we got the horses in the backfield to be really good at the run game. Yep. But it all starts up front. If they can't, you know, create holes for this running game, the offense is just going to be dead in the water again.
Right.
We talked about this before, like 2024. So I have confidence in Herb Hand, the guy molding the clay, right? But I was concerned prior to spring that when we talked about last year's offensive line versus this year's offensive line, you know, last year's was pretty darn good, right? It's just the quarterback was the limitation again last year. That offensive line was pretty darn good. But when you look at the guys that you brought in, you know, Michael Pettis was a top 10 graded tackle in the SEC. Luke Pettibon was the number one graded returning center in the ACC. You had a guy that Herb Hand had coached for 3 or 4 years. You had Richie Leonard, a returning starter. You know, you had Jacob Rizzi, a sixth man who was really good for you. A lot of these guys, you know, outside of the Chaplin kid who came from Virginia Tech, who's really good there, struggled a little bit at Auburn. I think we know why he struggled, because the hearing issues that they've figured out now. But other than that, you got a lot of FCS, G5 guys, the Purdue guy who was on a bad team. And so I have said the whole time, I think the ceiling of this group is a little bit lower than last year's, but I thought the floor would be high. So I'm a little bit concerned about them coming out of spring, just from the things we've heard. And I know, again, this could look totally different in the fall once these guys have all summer to work together and get on the same page. But from beginning to now, that is the group I'm more concerned about.
Yeah, I totally hear that for you. And for sure, we've heard the same things. And so, yeah, it definitely is a little bit more concerning. I would say, though, the position I'm more concerned about coming out of spring is the position we just talked about, which is quarterback.
Yeah, I would say that if I had to say the position I'm most concerned about versus just more is quarterback.
Yes. Yeah. I'm more concerned about the quarterback situation than I was at the beginning of spring. I assume that they believed that Ashton Daniels was the guy who's going to come in. He was going to blow Sperry away early and often. And it was going to be clear. Okay, great. We have confidence in our quarterback. After that first week of spring, that's all you heard. Man, Daniels looks great. He's accurate. He's on time. He's showing great leadership. All those things feels really good. But in the last few weeks, all you've heard is that and you've not heard that one has regressed over the other, more so of they're almost on equal footing, which means one had to regress while the other one had to progress, right? Or maybe, like I said, Sperry hasn't progressed, but Daniel has regressed in a lot of ways. And so that just makes me concerned because, like you said, if you got two quarterbacks, you ain't got no quarterbacks. And this is a make or break. This is a make or break year. I don't know how many times we're going to have to say it. We're going to have to say it a lot this summer. This is a make or break year for Mike Norvell. And for us to be coming out of spring with not a clear-cut confidence in who our quarterback's going to be.
Whoever
it's going to be. That makes me more concerned than I was walking into the springtime.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And you know, it's funny because I had used this example, this analogy yesterday on the Locked On show is where I was like, you know, I was thinking about it the other day when you kind of look at like Miami versus Florida State and they're going to the portal to get a new guy every year, just like we're going to the portal to get a new guy every year. But it's almost one of them where like, it's like buying a lottery ticket, right? You're trying to go retire. You stop by the store. You're like, man, I'm sick of this job. I need to go get me a lottery ticket. I'm gonna see if I can retire, right? Well, Miami's got the big booster. So they went in and bought that $20 scratch-off ticket.
Oh, man.
Man, if that thing hits, they're going to win a ton of money. And if it doesn't hit, yeah, they're going to feel bad about the money they wasted. But chances are you're at least going to win a ticket, right? You're going to get your money back out of it. It feels like we're just going in there getting them old dollar scratchers, right? like, let me get a dollar jumbo bucks or something like that. Where it's like, even if you hit, the upside is kind of limited, right? Yep. You're probably going to win $100 or something like that. But this is kind of what's expected whenever you've bargained been the quarterback position, right? You like right now, Miami feels great about Darian Mensah and where their quarterback position is. Now, who their number two is, I don't even know his name. So they better hope he stays healthy. But yeah, man, it's just kind of the game that you chose to put yourself in, right? You chose to have this. And so now you brought in a bargain bin quarterback who's struggling to separate himself from a redshirt freshman. Am I surprised that that's happening? No, because that's the game. That is the alley you chose to put yourself in.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, yeah, I like the analogy. It's like Miami's going to go play the lottery and you're going to the old folks home to play bingo. Like, what are we doing here?
Now, like, I love some bingo, but I'm just saying.
I mean, you're Florida State. You should be playing the lottery. Yeah. And like, we should be, and I get it. They got a big, I hate to make this ain't a Miami show. They got a big booster. I get that. I understand that. But man, you've got to find a way to not be at the bargain bin every single year. If this is what it's moving to, which I feel bad for high school quarterbacks because you're going to get recruited and then you're going to get portaled over unless you're, you know, one of the big name schools like Ohio State or Bama or Georgia, you know. But if this is what it's going to be every year where you're going to go shopping for a transfer portal quarterback, no, you can't be in the 800,000 or less bargain bin. You need to get up there in the $1.5 to $2 million quarterback. Yeah. You can find a quarterback in that range that can win you 8 games, at least. That's not the standard at Florida State, but that's where you got to get to at least to save your job. So that's why that position is more concerning to me coming out of spring.
1,000%. And the thing is, I don't expect you to pay $10 million like they did to Mesna. I know we probably don't have that kind of money, but Florida State's not running off a bingo budget either.
Exactly.
Though. That's the thing. Like I think you told me what they spent $25 million on that roster last year. You got to spend smarter. And that's just maybe, you know, the GM now will help with that. But, you know, maybe now we don't have 13 tight ends and an $800,000 quarterback.
Gosh,
you know, maybe we can balance that budget a little bit more. But I definitely agree with you. I think I'm more concerned about the offensive line and I'm most concerned about the quarterback position, which makes me a little bit kind of teeters the scales of where my confidence was pre-spring, right? I thought the offense would be the clear leader and the defense might be the thing we were worried about the most. So now when we flip over to which position group are you more confident in and then which one are you most confident in, I think for me, the more confident, I'm actually more confident in the defensive line, I think. Now, maybe that's because I'm concerned about the offensive line. So, and we just don't know how that looks in a vacuum, right? But we've heard good things about Daniel Lyons, accepting the challenge of like, dude, you got to fill Daryl Jackson's shoes. You can't just continue to skate by here. We've heard good things about Rylan Kennedy. We've heard good things about the Twins. And so I'm feeling a little bit better, a little bit. And I mean, just a little bit. I'm feeling a little bit better about the potential of the defensive line. Now, I'm still very, very concerned about their depth. But I think the top six-ish guys, when you factor in Diggs and Diamonte or Diamonte Diggs and McCray and all them, I think you got a couple guys that you really like there. I worry about the interior more than anything. But then the position group that I'm most confident in is running back, man. I think we are, and really I could almost bargain these to get, I could chain these together is receiver too. I feel real good about the skill positions on the offensive side of the ball. The problem is it comes back to like, you got a Ferrari, but do you have four flat tires? So can you actually use all that horsepower, right? You've got a Deuce, you got a Chroma, you got a Wisner. Do you have the offensive line and the quarterback to take advantage of those? And if you do, I think this team can be pretty darn decent, right? Because I think you've got some real pieces there. But that's my more and most confident positions after spring.
Yeah, I think I am – let's see.
Well, not after spring, but towards the end of spring.
Towards the end of spring. I've become more confident in our wide receivers, for sure. They were never a concern for me, obviously, with Deuce and Boggs back. Obviously, you got some of the young guys developing. Boggs has been out for most of the spring. But I do, and obviously they've been spot using Deuce. Obviously he knows it all, like he knows at least what they're gonna. So I'm not majorly concerned there. But I've become more and more confident that all the younger guys have got more reps because of that. So now you're not just relying on Jess Deuce to be the main offense for, you know, getting the ball down the field. That you're gonna have a Javon Boggs when he gets healthy. You're going to have a Mekhi Dansey. Sorry. You're going to have a Dansey, right? When he gets done with track, he's going to come into play. You're going to have some of those younger guys who've been getting a lot of reps with the ones during spring. So I'm more confident in that. I agree with you. I am the most confident in our running back room. I mean, my gosh, you know, kudos to David Johnson. He did recruit really well, those guys. And I've heard nothing but amazing things about the new running back coach, Cam Martin. I've heard nothing but awesome things. The way he coaches, how aggressive he is, but also he cares. He get up in their face. He put it in there. I mean, he's all the way like there. He's like the coach that you hear a lot of stuff about coming out of spring. And so I feel most confident that our running backs are going to be really well. In that film, the other day, when you're watching Daniels and Sperry throw, they were throwing a lot of balls to the running back. And even Mike Norvell was just like, I mean, they were making good catches, but he was getting on them because he went down to the finer tee of things. Like, you know, don't open your inside shoulder too soon, because that tells the defender that the ball is coming. You got to wait till that last moment before you open your inside shoulder to the ball. Like, I mean, it was like just the finer details of that, and to watch that. So I feel really good. I feel like we're going to see a lot of, I also heard too that, and I'll throw this back to you on this. They were talking a lot about 21 personnel, which is two running backs, one tight end. And we haven't seen a lot of that. And in the Gus Malzahn, I'm excited to get back to that, because now you got two capable running backs. You're going to have, you know, thunder and lightning. You got Trey, you got Chroma on the field at the same time. Both can receive out of the backfield. Both can run the ball. So I'm really excited to see what that's going to look like.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Cam Martin has been one of the guys that I've been excited about too, right? This is a guy that I think the last 4 or 5 years at multiple schools has produced a 1,000-yard rusher every single year. And so that's encouraging in its own right. It might be hard to hit 1,000 with two good backs, because you're splitting carries. But then again, you also got Sam Singleton to factor into that. Amari Thomas has made some waves as a freshman. So I think you have some pretty good depth. I feel pretty good about that. Same with the receivers, to your point, where like a guy like Devin Carter or something is stepping up and getting some reps as a freshman. Maybe now you feel like you have a little bit more depth there with a guy like Javon Boggs, who just can't really seem to stay healthy. Right. Now you feel like maybe with LaWayne McCoy gone, you're not just like, okay, well, who's next? Right. Now you have a couple guys. Jason Lopez is another guy as well that's been getting some reps. So, yeah, no, I feel the same exact way. And on the coaching front, I did want to also touch on one of the reasons I'm a little bit more confident in the defensive line is I'm liking what I'm hearing about Nick Williams, the new edges coach, man. Apparently he is straight to the point, fiery, brings the energy, wears cleats at practice type of coach. Like I'm really liking what I'm hearing from that guy. I think he's going to be able to get the most out of that position. You know, again, last year when you basically just had a nose tackle by nature, you know, coaching the entire defensive line, there's just the nuances of the position to your point with the last part that you were talking about with your shoulders and stuff.
Right.
There's so much that goes into these at this level that you need a guy monitoring every single position on that defensive line. So that gives me some confidence there as well. Now, a couple of other things that I did want to talk about through spring, mainly just two main things, right? Or three main things. One is, golly, man, we sure do seem to be the most injured, banged up team I've ever heard of. Like every time you hear this guy's out, that guy's out, he's not going to be playing the rest of spring. And it's just like, what in the world is going on? Like, can we just put everybody in bubble wrap for spring practice?
Yep.
But the two other things we can kind of bunch these together, man, is the comments made by Tony White and some of the other things that we've heard kind of around that, where, you know, he's talking about you don't have the guys this year who are disrespecting the logo, about that BS off the field. And you got guys that are like in the facility at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. All these guys want to do is work. And, you know, we've heard a lot of these things before, right? They're good football players. We've heard that before. So I don't know how much that means in the grand scheme of things on in the win-loss column next year. But we've also heard that this is a very blue-collar type of team.
Right.
And, you know, this is not a team that you can look across the board and go, that's a first-round pick, that's a third-round pick, that's a second-round pick. You don't have that. Now, you have Deuce. You have a couple of guys that are for sure going to don an NFL jersey for a couple of years.
Right.
But you're not loaded like a Bama, you know, a Georgia, an Ohio State. But you know what, man? Neither was Indiana.
That's true.
And it was a blue-collar team who were all pulling in the right direction. And, you know, to Tony's point, where he says, like, we're doing things now in the spring that we weren't doing until the season last year. And granted, you know, I know there's the caveat of you had a lot of roster turnover, but I think it was like 9 guys were returning or whatever that started a game for Florida State last year on the defensive side of the ball alone. So just going into year 2 for the defense, if this team really is that just, you know, we're going to work relentlessly. We may not have the most talent, but we're going to play up to that talent level that we have. That's a formula that you see a team overachieve on their win-loss totals, right? We just talked about 6.5 wins. That's a team that you go 2022. How did a team that just came off of that 5-7 seasons that had a win total of 6.5 win 9 regular season games? Because you had a bunch of blue-collar guys supplemented by a couple of stars with a Jermaine Johnson and a Jordan Travis. And you were able to go out and you were able to overachieve versus expectations. And so if that is the case, and it's not just coach speak, that is another encouraging thing that I've seen come out of spring.
Yeah. It is coach speak season. It's the I love the attitude season. It's I love the work season.
Yep.
Everything they do is great. And, man, I just love the response. And that means a bunch of hill of beans right now, obviously, for sure. But I did like what Tony White said about how, you know, I think it just kind of revealed a little bit of what had been going on last year in the locker room. You had a bunch of knucklehead boys who just weren't buying into Mike Norvell's message. They were causing problems. They were being, you know, disruptive to the culture there. And I love that Tony White was like, hey, we don't have that this year so far. Now, again, last summer, they said the same thing. Oh, this is great. These kids are great. All like that stuff. And then all that knuckleheadness developed. Why? Because they were losing.
Right.
But we'll see what happens this year. Culture, I heard someone once say, Jesse, water will always find the crack in the foundation.
Yeah.
Right? Water will always find the crack in the foundation. And sure enough, last year, everybody was hype and ready to go. And then they beat Bama. Everything's great. They beat Kent State. They beat the other school. And then the moment they find that there's a crack in the foundation against Virginia, well, then it goes all the heck. Right?
Well, yep.
Same thing this year. Is it going to be that way? But I did appreciate him being honest about that. I appreciate the fact that right now they like the work. They like the attitude. And so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, my thing is it sounds great now. You beat New Mexico State. You're riding on cloud 9 just like – well, I mean, beating New Mexico State ain't quite like beating Alabama last year. But what if you start 1-2?
Exactly. Right?
What if you're 2-2 coming going into that Virginia game? then how does that work, right? That exactly. I think that's your point. Like, what do you do when the adversity strikes? And because we haven't seen them handle it well since that's 2023. Right. And so we'll see how, man. We'll see how it goes. But that's kind of where we're at this juncture in spring, right? I don't think you're going to see any really major mood shifting moves with one more scrimmage and a couple more practices. I feel like we kind of have a pretty good idea of where this team is right now towards the end of spring. We'll see. We'll keep our eyes and ears peeled to see how things shake out as we go into summer, which again, I do think is going to be a very, very important summer for this program. I'm just giving a break point. So we're at 43 minutes. I'm kind of thinking we might should cut this and then turn the other thing into a whole show. What do you think?
That would be good.
Because if you don't, it's going to run really long.
Yeah, it could.
And that could be a good standalone topic.
There you go.
So what I'll do is I'll do the ad read. Then we'll just go into baseball because this is kind of relevant to baseball.
Yeah.
I'll get this out today. It'll be under an hour. And then we can either push that off to another show or we can record it real quick. It doesn't matter. It's already almost 2 o'clock. So I don't know if you want to just keep rolling into that or whatnot.
Whatever you want to do.
Well, let's just hit the ad read in baseball and then I'll close the show without closing the show. And then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Cause I would like to get this out today.
Yeah.
So we may just put that, we may just back burner that, for the next one. Okay.
At least we got something for next week then.
Yeah. And I think it'll be a good show. Okay. So we'll just jump back in on that. Okay. All right. So 3, 2, 1. I don't remember where we left off now. I don't remember the last thing we said. That's where we stand at spring or something like that.
Yeah, that's where we stand at spring.
Okay, let's see. But, okay, I'll go in 3, 2, 1. But you know what, Michael? Wherever you stand on spring, what you should stand on is quality gear from our friends over at Alumni Hall FSU. Yes. Now, these guys got everything you need from baseball, softball, basketball, football. They got everything covered, and they have a great selection for you guys. Something for everybody in the family. Make sure you check them out. 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee is the location, or you can shop online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page. They just got a bunch of new baseball stuff in. Yep. I was looking through the other day. They got some pretty nice stuff, man. So if you're looking for some new gear, make sure you check them out. They got a ton of great stuff. And while you're over there, make sure that you save 10% with code SPEAR. So that's online or in store. If you're buying the gear anyway, might as well save your money. Alumni Hall has a lot of great things, free shipping over $99. You can earn Alumni Hall Pass rewards, which is, I think it's like every 100 you get $10. So, I mean, it really adds up. I've had it take 20, 30, 40 bucks off my purchase on top of the 10% code SPEAR. So make sure you guys check them out, stack those rewards, save some money, and get some awesome gear. So we appreciate you guys supporting those who support us and for Alumni Hall for rocking with us. So, Michael, we're talking about spring right now. That means the round ball sports, baseball and softball anyway, are in full swing. So we're going to provide a little kind of cleanup on these because we have not talked about baseball in the last couple of weeks. And obviously there has been some major news breaks in baseball. A lot has developed there. And so let's just start with the elephant in the room, man. It's really, really unfortunate that Miles Bailey got injured.
Yeah.
He was obviously the engine of the offense. Now, this is old news, so we're not going to spend a ton of time on it. But, I mean, it's really unfortunate for this team. Obviously, it just every Florida State fan, I think, was mentally transported back to 2023 against North Alabama with Jordan Travis instantly. It's just, you know, the heart of your offense, the leader of your team goes down. And it's just unfortunate, man, because not only was for the team perspective, but for Bailey, who's such a great kid.
Great kid.
He's having a great season, has a great future ahead of him, which will not be affected by this in any way.
No.
But you hate it for him. You hate it for the team. And, you know, man, I was watching it, and like, after the immediate shock and awe wears off, I'm just like, this is just the life of a Florida State fan, man. Like, I'm not saying that changing the logo back for 1 year would reverse whatever curse we're up under.
But
I'm just saying it doesn't hurt to try it, right? We're doing throwback uniforms in baseball. Let's just try it one time, man. It is unreal, the run of bad luck that we've had. But on that note, man, we're just obviously praying for a speedy recovery, a full recovery for him so he can continue to play baseball with a bright future ahead. I will at least say he is a draft-eligible sophomore. Initially, I thought maybe this would be the last time we ever saw him suit up in Garnet and Gold. He did put out a graphic. It did not say he's like moving on to the draft. So I think the door is still open if they can maybe get some funds. But man, I mean, this is a potential first round draft pick. I don't think he's coming back. I think we've seen him play his last baseball in Tallahassee. And it's an, just like Jordan, it's an unfortunate way to come to an end when you're having a good season and it looks like you're on track to be a national contender, and then your season gets cut short because of injury. And you know, as we'll continue our talk about baseball, yes, the team has continued. They've had some up and down moments. They've still went and got that UVA series win, which was big for them. But it just, you can tell it doesn't look the same since Miles Bailey, right? You look at the Georgia Tech game last night. You went, had like, I think, 6 or 7 scoreless innings. And you were like, yep, this just feels like a place where Miles Bailey would come put one in the parking lot and right, charge things up. So it stinks that you're missing that.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, man, I was watching the game live when it happened, and I just kind of sat there like, and like you said, I was transported back to section 28, row K, seat 27. No, seat 14, sorry. That's where I was. That's where I sat when Jordan Travis got injured against North Alabama. And I was literally sitting here thinking, what did we do? Like, did we sacrifice a goat to the wrong sports god or something? The logo, can we get the logo back? Like,
something. I
mean, it's just, yeah. And but joking aside, man, just feel bad for Miles. Like, what a great kid. I mean, just well respected, well loved on that team, well loved in the community. I mean, he was, you know, FSU baseball through and through. He's always going to be a Seminole for sure. I shouldn't say 100%. I'm 99.9% sure he played his last game in a Florida State uniform, which is sad, but also he's going to be a potential first round NFL draft or NLB draft pick.
He's doing it all, man.
He's doing every single sport. He's going to go. There's not enough money in the program, in any program in the country. Yeah, that can
offer
cost
him as much as your entire roster would
cost. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, he'll be around with the team for the rest of the season there, obviously rehabbing and stuff. The doctor said that he's going to make a full recovery, all that. But you're absolutely right, is that you can tell the offense wasn't the juggernaut of an offense last year.
No, not
that
at
it was
all
last year. But you can tell significantly the difference with Miles Bailey. No, there are no pitchers that are afraid of anybody in this lineup anymore.
No, yeah.
They are going right at each batter in the box. They're going right at him now, and you're seeing the struggles. I mean, since Miles went out, I think they've scored over 6 runs twice since Miles went out.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
and in this era of college baseball, man, unless you have a dynamic bullpen, which we don't, it's gonna be a struggle every game to eke out a win.
Yeah, you've seen them kind of switch a little bit more back to the small ball approach. Yep. I mean, you just don't have the power in the lineup. You know, again, yep, we talked about this before with baseball, where like you would have a Cam Smith, a James Tibbs,
right,
guys who can hit double-digit home runs right, in their sleep.
Right.
You don't really have that in this lineup without Miles Bailey. And so, you're to your point, you're right. There's no one in this lineup that pitchers fear, that they're going to pitch around. Now, you've been able to manufacture some runs, and trust me, you know, unfortunately, you lost that Sunday game to Duke, but going up and getting the series win at Virginia was massive for this team, because you could have seen a situation where they go up there against a top 10 Virginia squad. They get swept. They lost game one.
They did.
You get swept, and all of a sudden it feels like the momentum just crashed. Yep. And so for you to get that win was huge. Unfortunately, you followed it up by completing the sweep against Florida. Lord knows, I don't understand how they have Randy Johnson coming out of their bullpen throwing 115 miles an hour, and yet we can't find anybody, right? We can't find anybody in the bullpen other than Johnny Abram, who's
the crazy thing right now.
It's just crazy.
The crazy thing is, Jesse, is they're getting their butts whooped on the weekend series.
They lost to Jacksonville in a midweek the week before we played them.
And they're getting swept almost every week. Like, I mean, they've had a decent season, but they're not good. Yet when they play us, they are the, you know, 19 Yankees or the 2026 Dodgers. Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I mean, I think first things first, you have to get that series back to a weekend some way, somehow, because it's more important than any other midweek that you play, obviously, because it's Florida. But it's like, yeah, if we had won, I'd probably be talking a little smack to Florida fans, but it's still a midweek. Like, obviously, they have better pitching depth than we do, because look at their midweek arms that they're able to afford to bring out of the pen. Whereas we pretty much have to put all of our you know, eggs into that weekend basket, because we just don't have the depth to give a weekend, or, you know, a midweek starter, a high level midweek starter. So it does show that, you know, again, to Micah Posey, I don't want to like talk bad about him, because he's been really good at developing the starting pitchers, the weekend rotation. He's done a great job with that. The bullpen just continues to be a liability. And I mean, getting to the current series, last night was a perfect example of that. Now, I'm not going to go crazy with this daggone Georgia Tech loss like a lot of people. Like, I saw comments under Florida State Baseball's tweet last night, fire link, whatever, whatever. Y'all are crazy to talk about that, right? You're talking about a team without its best player just went on the road to the number three team in the country sold-out environment with your pitcher starting on short rest and lost by one run with the game tying and winning run in scoring position. Like,
correct.
What that game says, these two teams look pretty darn even, right? And that was the best offense, baseball offense in the country,
right?
And you held them to four runs. Now, you don't need to get swept. You need to at least get a game here. But it was unfortunate last night that, you know, Johnny Abraham wasn't on. And so when he came in with the lead, you felt the momentum slipping. Yet you make mistakes you just can't make with a balk and a wild pitch.
Yep.
You end up bringing in some runs, and from there on, you just kind of knew it was over, man, because the offense, to your point, you can manufacture some runs here and there at a small ball. It's just you don't feel like – I was joking. We were talking about this earlier. I was joking before where I said, man, if you don't have a 3-5, and even that would be nervous, if you don't have a 3-5 run cushion when you hand the ball off to the bullpen on this team, I'm going to be nervous against the better teams. Now, with that being said, even if you don't win this series, even if you get swept this series, there's a reason Georgia Tech is ranked number three. The season is not over. A lot of people said the season was over when Miles Bailey got hurt. They went and beat Virginia. Season's not over. It's just going to look different, right? Your ceiling is a little bit lower, but I'm not freaking out over the Georgia Tech loss because they're number three for a reason. The number three and number five teams finished almost – I mean, this is basically like when you lost to, you know, Georgia Tech on a last-second field goal in Ireland or whatever.
Right.
4-3 with the winning runs coming to the plate. It was essentially a dead even game. So, still a lot of baseball to play. This team will be fine. But, man, this is a tough series up at Georgia Tech, especially without Miles Bailey.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's going to be a tough series because they're an offensive juggernaut. Obviously, Wes Mendez did a great job yesterday battling, you know, getting himself out of jams. I mean, he was battling last night, grinding through, was able to keep them to one run, obviously. And then, you know, Johnny Abraham comes in. I think what this does is it reignites the bigger conversation around Micah Posey, where, you know, he's, like you said, he's really good at developing starters, really terrible with the bullpen. And I wonder if maybe, you know, if Link could get the resourcing next year, he goes out and gets another assistant pitching coach, and that pitching coach is completely in charge of the bullpen. Go find somebody who's been really good at developing bullpens and bring them in, because obviously it's
every year.
It's every year. What is every the thing year. I always love to say? What is the definition of insanity?
Yeah, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
And here we are again, another year. The bullpen's not good, not reliable. You maybe got one, maybe two arms that you might trust on a daily basis or for a weekend series. And when you get into the regionals, man, that's where you win or lose games, is in the bullpen. We saw that in Corvallis last year. Reason why, we were one out away from going to the world, going back to Omaha, and we couldn't get it done because the bullpen. So, man, like, I think this just alerts to a bigger conversation Link has to have in the offseason.
Yeah. Now, thank goodness the next couple series you got are not against ranked teams. Because, again, you played Wake, UVA, ranked, NC State, ranked, Georgia Tech, top five. I mean, you've had a tough sled. Now, you got Clemson coming up, but at least you get Notre Dame next and then Stanford after that, who, you know, not bad, but not what you've been facing.
And
the crazy thing about this baseball team, man, my final thoughts on this is, like, the offense is different, right? I'm not gonna say it's bad, but it's not as good as it's been. I feel like you're pretty darn good across your three starters. You got Johnny A out of the bullpen. Everyone else is kind of the same situation that you've been in. The fielding is not as clean this year without Lodice and Faroe. But somehow here you are sitting at number five in the country and just winning all the ACC series. So as long as it works, man, I don't care, right?
Right.
As long as it works, I don't care. So hopefully they can at least get a couple game or two up there at Georgia Tech and then bounce back if they don't. But that's a good team. Now, the last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here, man, is just a quick shout out to softball. 36-4 on the year. 25 straight wins. I mean, they are belt to bottom every single time they take the field. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from softball, but I feel like maybe, you know, we could have promoted Issa Torres up to Miles Bailey's spot.
I mean,
because
really?
That girl's hitting over 600 right now. Golly, jeez, that's insane. So just wanted to give a quick shout out to the softball team, man. They have been killing it. They got a couple of big series coming up. Florida's coming up and stuff like that. So, man, we're going to be keeping our eyes on them because they look like they could make a for real run this year. I just hate that Texas Tech, that second game got canceled because I really wanted to see that test.
Yep.
They were scared. They backed out. That's fine.
They did.
But, you know, we'll see them. We'll see them later.
Yeah. I'm starting to call her IT because she's the tech wizard of FSU softball. I mean, my gosh. I mean, just consistent, like, hitting. She went on a 16-game hitting streak that got finally broken up. Obviously, she could knock it out of the park. She's super fast. She's, I believe she plays the shortstop position, right? Yeah, so she's obviously
one of the best in the country.
One of the best in the country and the most, one of the most important positions in the defense there. I mean, she, IT is killing it. And this whole team, I mean, the pitching has finally stepped up. These young pitchers are finally starting to find their groove, find their batting there. The bats have woken up. Obviously, early in the season, we were a little concerned about the offense, but man, the bats have started to wake up. And so we'll see. Now, the ACC softball is, you know, the competition is then whatever. So we'll be able to see more so when we get into the to the tournament there to see how they stack up. But I really think, man, if they keep putting and stacking up them things, that they have a chance to make a deep, deep run this year.
Yeah, and I mean, even then, like you took Texas Tech to the wire before. Oklahoma doesn't look the same as they have. So the door is open if Florida State can, you know, just stay hot at the right time. So that's going to do it for us, guys, on this show. We just wanted to bring you a bunch of spring updates from all the sports across Tallahassee. And, you know, again, man, there's not a whole lot going on with football, but we're going to pull out everything that we can from there. They only got what I think I said, a couple more practices and one scrimmage left. So we'll be watching out for those. So make sure you check back in with that. If you guys enjoy this content, drop a like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. It really helps us grow. If you think you're subscribed, you might not be. Just double check and see, because I know when I look at the analytics, over half of our views are from not subscribed people. So just check that out. Again, we'd really, really appreciate that. Also, a rate and review on the podcast would help. I know a lot of you guys listen on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars there would be great to help us reach other people as well. Make sure you check out our website at plantthespear.com. Again, we got some big things coming for you guys. We're building a lot of cool things. I can't let the cat out of the bag yet, but it's getting close. And so I'm really excited to tell you guys about it. Again, it's going to be a game changer for us here at Plant the Spear. So I'm really excited about that. Lots of cool new things for you guys as well. So make sure you lock in with us now. And until the next one, we'll catch you on the other side. Thanks for watching. As always, go Noles.